Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now, they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy show, because this show is all about inspiration. Not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after, 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing potential clients to slip away. And with today's guest, her zone of genius is her ability to provide clear, understandable, and easy access to the technology that supports artists so that the myth of the starving artist gets laid to rest properly. So I am super excited to introduce Leah Murray. Now, Leah is a digital artist, poet, and photographer based in British Columbia, Canada. Now, she creates visual and literary art, as well as offers digital art services for nonprofit organizations and fellow artists in Canada and the US to grow their businesses. Well, welcome, Leah. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Hi, Wendy. I'm so delighted to be here. This is going to be fun.
That's great. I'm in Canada. So, I know that you're up in the, northern part of the country. I don't know if winter is happening for you yet, but I know we've got a lot of storm systems going through. So hopefully you've been managing to stay safe and dry. So I know that some of the Canada areas have been flooding.
The places right next door to me, to the east, were flooding, and I got a small puddle about 4 feet wide by about half an inch deep in one part of my house. But I was really lucky. So I was just able to be out helping my neighbors instead of dealing with a lot of problems myself.
Well, I'm glad that it wasn't worse. So that can be very frustrating. But, I just love how you are, leaning into your artistic talents. And obviously, it's beyond that. From my intro and bringing you onto the show, it sounds like you're also working with supporting nonprofits and other artists in building their businesses. So I can't wait to hear more about this and the work you're now doing.
Thank you. It's really interesting work for me. It's turned out to be the perfect blend for what I like to do and what I am gifted at doing.
Ah, that's awesome. That's like the perfect recipe for success, right? When we're doing what we love, and what we love makes a big difference. And, people love working with us. That's like the magic recipe. So, well, exactly what was the inspiration or tipping point, that prompted you to start your own consulting work in addition to your artistic pursuits?
Well, actually, the consulting work sort of came before the artistic pursuits. I was in the Canadian military for many years. And when I left there, I went back to school to transition my project skills and whatnot that I learned in the military into the civilian marketplace. I hadn't learned a lot in the way of patience up to that point. The military does not foster a lot of patience. It's go, go, go.
Right.
So after 4 weeks of job searching and collecting on my accumulated unemployment insurance, when I graduated, I got frustrated and started my own business, providing technical services to other small and medium-sized businesses.
Well, there you go. I love that. Yeah. Take the bull by the horns.
Exactly. I really enjoyed that and loved the challenges of running the business. So I kept on doing that for a number of years. And then I got a really attractive offer from a large pharmaceutical company to be the translation person between the information technology group and their research group. So I stayed with them for 10 years doing that, and then branched out on my own again into the visual arts world after I left there.
Oh, interesting. So obviously you must have had some idea that you had visual art skills.
Oh, yes.
Way, right? Okay.
Oh, yes. My father was in the military, so when we went to Europe, I was a teenager and kicking up a storm about having to leave behind my friends and whatnot to go to a whole new continent. He made a deal with me that my budding affection for photography would be supplied for the entire 3 years that we were going to be in Europe with good cameras and all of my film processing costs on his nickel. So I spent the 3 years in Europe desperately trying to bankrupt him so I would have plenty of memories to bring back with me.
That's funny. So you've always had that interest and that skill set, but then the focus on the technology support was also, sounds like it came very naturally to you.
It did. People were very surprised that I went into technology and programming because they had sort of understood me to be this very natural photojournalist. And I was quite surprised when people said to me, well, how can you be a programmer? Because you paid no attention to mathematics in school. And I said, well, programming isn't mathematical, it's language skills. And they said, what? And I said, yeah, you just have to translate what you say in English into something the computer can understand. That's a language skill. And I can do language skills. I have no problem with language skills.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense now that you explain it. Absolutely. Well, so how long have you had your consulting practice, and has your business, your mission or vision evolved during that time?
Oh boy, has it ever. I actually, altogether, I have been in the solopreneur life for over 20 years, but it was broken up into a couple of different periods. The period when I came out of the military and before I went to the pharmaceutical company,
right.
I was working strictly as a technology consultant, doing projects for a variety of nonprofits, large ones like the Film and Television Directors Guilds and places like that. Then I went to work for the pharmaceutical company for 10 years. And as soon as I came out of that, I have now spent since 2008 being in the photography and web development business and preparing visuals and scripting and this and that for internet.
Kind of merged. Yeah. Interesting. So that's since 2008. So that's been quite a lengthy run as well. I'm sure that you've seen a lot of changes within the digital space over that period of time.
Yes. It's just been getting better and better.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting, people are, it's getting easier for people to use. It's getting easier for people to access. The price is going down all the time, you know, so it's really the best playing field ever for small and micro businesses right now.
Right.
You can do anything on the internet nowadays with a very minimal investment of time, energy, and money.
And talent, don't forget that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? The talent comes in people's creative and artistic visions. Okay, right. That's where that's all centered. So my job is to help them get that out onto the technology so that other people can see it.
Right. Yeah. And that's not always an easy thing to do. And a lot of people are in denial of being creative. So I love the fact that you acknowledge that everybody has that. So yeah, that's inspirational right there. Well, have there been any big roadblocks or challenges that you've had to overcome along the way in building, you know, this this latest version of your business where you're bringing the artistic into, you know, supporting other businesses with their, you know, building business building needs?
Yeah, I, in many ways, I was my own worst enemy for a while. I really had no idea how to sell my services. You don't learn how to sell things in the military. And in technology, you don't very often do a sales job on someone. Okay, because
this is true.
Yeah. So that part, I had a real internal resistance to trying to make sales because I didn't want to feel salesy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to learn how to organize myself and my mindset around all of that. And then I had to learn how to own that process and be happy with it, be comfortable in it.
Right. So it was part of you and not something that was you, where you suddenly were not yourself. That's always the trick, especially if you have any sort of paradigm going into it as to what you think that role is all about. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess that's just a perfect launch into then, you know, what specifically has, because you're obviously an expert at helping other artists and nonprofits, you know, with their digital arts and technology needs. But, you know, what specifically around this new role or a role that you had to then step into, has caused you frustrations or challenges, and have you, you know, solved any of that, or do you still have some areas that are causing you a few headaches?
I think the biggest turning point came when I actually understood from a friend of mine who's very good at sales that you don't have to think of sales as pushing a product on someone. You're there to provide them with something that they need, and you're there to help them figure out how they can best get it and how they can best make use of it. You're there in a service role if you're in sales.
Mm-hmm.
And once I actually grasped that, I actually started looking around for somebody to help me develop a sales process and a sales format that I could be really comfortable with, that I could wear like I wear my combat pants and my pink fuzzy slippers when I'm at home, you know, just stuff I'm really comfortable with.
Right.
So I eventually, I took a consultative selling course through the Canadian Professional Sales Association. And I overcame that whole block against actually talking to people and making the sales.
Right.
I learned that it's a conversation, and I learned how to initiate the conversation without being pushy and without feeling like I was betraying myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's
and crazy. Yeah. I was astonished to find that once I can get talking to somebody, usually between the two of us, we can uncover the things that they need and figure out two or three options for getting them to where they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And those will not always result in a sale for me. Sometimes they're you know what, this course that these other people offer is helpful, like that consultative sales course.
Right.
Okay. Or this person over here offers information and an app that does that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, so I can actually offer a lot of help without ever having to say, you know what, now I need to close the sale or worry about any of those things. What I'm doing is I'm doing what comes naturally, which is try and help people and try and help them effectively. So
yeah.
Easily, efficiently, and preferably within their budget.
Right. Yeah. The only time things are salesy is when you're trying to convince somebody of something that they don't really want.
And that's or need, exactly. So, yeah. So
consultative selling is perfect because that's discovering and supporting, or what I call, you know, just really being alert to what's really going on that maybe you can solve. So, well, are there any challenges or frustrations that you're currently having that I could support you around?
Oh, yes. For me, it's all about now the initial marketing part. I'm not good at filling my pipeline with people or getting disciplined about getting out there and actually getting to the point of having the conversation. In addition to not being disciplined about it, about doing that, I'm also spending so much time working on other people's technologies, things around that area, that I very rarely do my own. So I need to really get focused on that and straighten myself out. And so those are the kinds of things that I need to figure out now, right? Is, you know, how do I do those things? Is there somebody I can actually hire to help with some of those things? You know, how does all that work?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, obviously that's a really important part to building a business, is attracting those potential clients into your world. You know, if there's nobody to talk to, then that's a problem. And the other thing is that with social media, it used to be, I'll stop my sentence midway and I'll say it used to be, you know, in the brick and mortar only phase, if you didn't advertise or if you weren't in a prime location, you were done. But now with social media and virtual businesses, or people doing business remotely or service-based where they don't have a brick and mortar, suddenly the whole idea of having to pay for advertising is like, well, why would I do that? I can just post on social media and I'm in front of, you know, how many millions and millions, if not billions of people. But the thing is, those people are not necessarily all your ideal client. And so an analogy, I retell a story that my son told me once, which is, I think it illuminates the essence of good marketing. And so my son was a professional fly fishing guide. And long story short, he was just this kid, 18 years old, but he was basically one of the best at the fly fishing shop. And who all of the VIP clients were assigned to, you know, the owner of the shop said, oh, you know, let's set him up with Winston because he's the best. Yeah. And so finally one day it's like, okay, Winston, what's your secret here? You know, you're this young kid, you know, and of course, 18, he thinks he's not a young kid, but he knew what I was getting at, because all of the other guides were, you know, 3, 4, 5, 10 years his senior. And I said, what's your trick? How can you, you know, be so effective at always getting such trophy fish for your clients? And he said, oh, Mom, it's really pretty easy. He said, first up, you need to know what kind of fish you want to catch. And secondly, when you're looking at the river, then you've got to know, okay, well, where do those fish hang out? And then the third thing is you have to know what they're eating at that time, which for fly fishing, you know, they just look under a rock and see what's hatching. So you know what they're hungry for. You know where they're hanging out because you know what the ideal fish is that you're looking for. And then it's just simply a matter of placing your hook right in front of them and they bite it. And then of course you got to set the hook. But so the analogy here to marketing, or the similarity to marketing, is you have to know who your ideal client is, obviously, and what they're hungry for. And then through words, through language, your forte, reach out to them with a message that is that hook, that is that, like, oh my gosh, she's talking about exactly what I need, because they're hungry. They're hungry for something. If they're your ideal client, they're hungry for what you provide. And it's a matter of creating a message that does pique their interest, draw their attention, and inspire action. So, and when you think about fishing, then you'll get the key and the answer to expert marketing.
Wow, the lights are going on big time here. My dad taught me to tie flies when I was 12 years old because he was a fly fisherman and quite a good one. And it just never occurred to me to draw the parallels the way your son did in that story.
Yeah.
Like you're really going on now, because all of that stuff is stuff I knew since I was a little girl. Mm-hmm. Never thought to apply it to marketing and sales. So.
Yeah. When he told me the story, then I was like, boy, that's marketing.
Is it ever?
So hopefully that will shift the needle for you a little bit and provide that added clarity and insight as you're thinking now about, you know, reaching those perfect trophy clients, that not trophy in terms of like show, but those ideal clients that you love to work with. So, all right. And, and it's interesting to me because in thinking about the digital space and, you know, you're a digital artist, we just experienced this shift in basically how so many things are done to now they're digital. That's the pandemic is what I'm referring to. Mm. Everything has really gone through an evolution in a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Businesses now being online. I don't know the impact that it's had for some of the industries that you work with, but I'm curious, has the impact of the pandemic affected the work that you do?
Oh, has it ever? Before the pandemic, I was sort of poking along doing my technology and digital arts thing and sort of mulling over, okay, how do I, you know, get more creative and really enjoy this whole business, the arts part of the business, and bring it to the forefront where I want it. And what happened with the pandemic was that all of a sudden the arts and culture sector took a massive hit because of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They had to get online or die. And I got absolutely.
Yeah, we talked about when I was bringing you into the show that, you know.
Yeah, I had clients lined up around the block because everybody needed to know how to make the technology work for them. And I knew that. So people were seeking me out because they knew I knew that.
Right.
So it just absolutely went crazy. I didn't have time to take a deep breath for about 12 or 14 months. You know, since March of 2020.
Wow.
until about May or June of 2021, I didn't have time to take a deep breath. I was so busy, I couldn't stop. I had to hire a bookkeeper. I had to get an occasional virtual assistant in. You know, I had a lot of changes happening in my business just because I got so busy trying to get everybody caught up and online and still able to present their work creatively and with the same kind of in-person feel to it that artists need to have with their clients.
Right. Yeah. So, and it's very, you know, when you have a big shift like that with no knowledge as to, oh my gosh, how can I do business through a whole new platform.
Really? And it's a whole different way of interacting as well, mm-hmm. because you can see people on Zoom, for instance, and talk to them, but it's still, there is an invisible barrier between you that you need to be able to get comfortable enough to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, I was able to sort of coach and help people along in getting first really comfortable with that kind of technology. Mm-hmm. And second, getting really comfortable with the platforms that they wanted to work on.
Right.
And basically break down that barrier, that invisible barrier, so that people felt like they were still talking to the artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge.
It was really interesting. It was a bit of a trial by fire for my business because I was learning. My head was just wide open to learning all of this new stuff. Mm-hmm. And there were some nights when I was just so excited about a new idea or a new concept of how this could work that I just couldn't really sleep, even though I was exhausted, I couldn't sleep. So anyway, after all of that, I got a small reputation for being able to help in those areas, and that spread. And I picked up my first clients in the United States last summer. Mm-hmm. And I've just now sort of got it all figured out so that I can deliver it to people very easily. And I have changed the way I do my own work. My own work has now gotten a lot more online than it was. Mm-hmm. It used to be that I would do a piece of digital art and I would present it as limited edition prints or whatever. Now I have a much more interactive way of doing it. Even when I'm in person, I have videos and things that I've made that are not technical. They're on the subject of the arts or of a particular arts message. And I can display those in my exhibit spaces now. And my product line has expanded as a result. So. Yeah,
that's great. So you're applying a lot of what you're helping others do as well. Yeah, I love it.
Really, the best way to learn something is to teach it to other people. And in the process of teaching the basics to other people, that made me refine my approaches and refine my skill sets.
Yes.
At the same thing. So yeah. It was really a win-win. It was a huge boost in one way for me. And it was also very scary in another way, because I wasn't sure that the arts industry was actually going to be able to make that transition. But yeah. Artists are at rock bottom. An artist is a problem-solving animal. Hmm. And they took to it like ducks to water. They really, really have much more aptitude for doing that than any of them realize at the outset when they get with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you have that ability to create clear, understandable technology so that they do get that and can apply what they already know in a way that is supported by technology instead of prohibited by it. So yeah, I love that.
Exactly.
Well, yep. Yeah, so how do you work with nonprofit organizations or, you know, those artists who want to grow their businesses but don't really understand how technology can support them? Can you share a little about your philosophy or your approach?
Well, it's really consultative. Okay, I every client that I am going to speak with, I offer them a free half hour consultation right at the outset to help identify areas of fit and shared purposes around what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. That goes for the nonprofits too. My work processes are really collaborative. Partly because of the military background, because in the military, you don't do anything unless you're doing it in a team. Okay, there are very few individual superstars in the military.
Right.
And I also have a lot of checkpoints along the way so that myself and my client are constantly checking back with each other and reaching timely resolutions around issues that come up for them. The best result for the clients depends on not only creating part of the work that they need, but it relies really heavily on clearly understanding what their needs, their desires, and the barriers they've faced are, and helping them find the perfect solution for them.
Right. Yep. That is perfect. That takes all the salesy bit out of it, because you've identified what their needs are, what their barriers are, and the solution.
Right. And we're a team. And I'm not selling them a solution. I'm working with them to get to a solution.
And that makes it create that solution. Right. Yeah. No, that is excellent. And it doesn't matter what type of a nonprofit organization, or are there specific ones that you focus on?
Well, I have been doing a lot of work with arts organizations, naturally, because it was the arts groups that actually started with the major issue of the pandemic. I've also worked with agricultural organizations, livestock owners, people who do things as diverse as raise alpacas for wool and need to sell the wool online, and people who paint feathers. So they have a flock of chickens and they're doing that. I have a couple of spiritual schools that I work with because they're not understanding about sales or a sales funnel at all. They know they have a message, but they're coaches and service people, and so they don't know about the sales is a service approach. So and getting that across through the digital medium is something that they really needed me to help them with.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. Sounds like you've really applied your knowledge and skill set to a lot of different types of businesses. So yeah, that's great. Well, how can others learn more about you and this great work that you're doing?
Well, people can actually get to me through either one of my websites. I have two of them. My artwork is all showcased on leahmurray.ca, and the digital services that I provide are all on bytesmart.ca, and that's BYTE, like a computer byte, smart, SMART.ca.
Okay. All right. So two different websites, your art, which is comprised of various types of poetry, I guess, in terms of literary art and visual art, right?
Yeah. The artwork is actually, I have limited edition prints of digital paintings and photography work that I've done. And I also have a collaboration going between my literary skills and my videography skills. So I make short art videos around things to convey a message of sorts.
Yeah. And then your other website is Byte Smart.
Right, bytesmart.ca.
Bytesmart.ca, B-Y-T-E, smart.ca. And that's where people can learn more about your technology, project management support, that kind of thing. All right.
That's right, yeah. And that's that. I like to focus on clients for Bytesmart. I like to focus on clients who are not comfortable with technology, because my goal is to get them comfortable and reduce their reliance on other people for not for so much supplying the technology part of it or doing their own programming, but in their understanding of how technology can and cannot fill needs and how to keep current on it. Because so many people don't need to know how to program a computer, but they do need to know, how do I get Facebook to do things?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, all the benefits of using the technology.
Right. So they need to know how to choose the benefit that they need and then get it applied somehow.
Right. So, right. Yeah, perfect. Makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there that would love to have your expertise and collaborative support. So, and you know, Leah, you've already shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom here through our conversation. But if I could tap on you one last time, in looking at your own experience in building your businesses, right? Several of them. Mm-hmm. What's some advice that you can share with, say, a frustrated entrepreneur who's maybe questioning their decision to have started their own business, or they're doubting their ability to succeed?
Oh, well, the first thing I'd say is, don't give up. You're doing what is coming naturally to you. Okay. And that's a good thing, because every human being has a purpose. Every human being has a reason for doing things as they are doing them and how they are doing them. And every human being was designed to be an entrepreneur in some area. Okay, so don't give up is the first thing. The second thing is, seek out the people who have those gifts that you don't have in your arsenal. Mm-hmm. Seek them out. network with them, get to know them. Okay. Some collaborators are free. Your Arts Council has all kinds of stuff like this available to you. They have arts conferences around the business of arts and so on that always include a technology component and whatnot. So you don't have to pay somebody every time for every little thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you're not a technologist, having a good understanding of what technology can and cannot do for you at this particular point in time is the most valuable piece of knowledge you can bring to your business. Right. You don't have to be a programmer. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you don't have to be perfect at it either. Nobody is perfect at technology, not even the longtime technology people like me. Lots of it is trial and error and figure it out as you go along. Okay. And artists are born problem solvers. Okay. Artists solve all kinds of technical problems in creating their art every day, all day long. Just because it's not a computer does not mean they do not know how to solve problems.
Right. Yeah. It's
okay. Artists are gifted that way. So,
yeah, that's fantastic. Well, I love both of those. Don't give up and seek out the people who have the gifts that maybe you don't quite have cultivated, or that can, you know, inspire those out of you, or you can learn additional skill sets, because let's face it, all are not born with the ability to, you know, start and grow business. Those are skills that are required. So yeah, well, that's great. Yep. Well, thank you so much, Leah, for sharing those golden nuggets. And, you know, it's just been so great hearing about your journey, you know, from your Canadian military career and transitioning, you know, carrying those skills then into civilian life and providing that support within the technology space, as your path kind of veered into the pharmaceutical realm, you know, within IT and research, and then, you know, coming back to your visual artist passion that you took full advantage of your father's offer there through your 3 years.
Yeah.
And having that be just another facet that brought it all together in terms of the difference that you're making by supporting as a consultant and technology project expert, supporting those nonprofit organizations and fellow artists in Canada and the US with digital art services that's supporting them and growing their businesses. So I've really enjoyed our conversation, and I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Well, thank you, Wendy. It was lovely to be here and be talking to you. And thank you again so much for that insight with the fly fishing. Yeah. I'm going to be running away to tie a whole bunch of flies when I get
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, for all our listeners, you can see a lot of Leah's art and experience some of her, you know, great creations through her website, leahmurray.com. And find that link in the show notes. And for those of you who are looking to grow your business and incorporate a lot of her expertise and technology support, that's bitesmart.ca, B-Y-T-E, right. smart.ca.
All right. Now, Wendy, those two, both of those domains have .ca on the end.
Oh, did I say .com? Yeah,
sorry, I should have clarified that earlier.
Good, and I just said autopilot. Yes, leahmurray.ca and bitesmart.ca. Absolutely.
Right.
Thank you. Chiming in. Yep. And for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of what I call compassionate selling, where you've fully supported your potential client's decision-making process by providing them with everything they need to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. So are you 100% confident that you're fully supporting your potential clients? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me and our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Leah Murray. And as always, here's to your success.